Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, the Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune, with my boss, Jay Posner, who is a sports editor. Jay, I'm in Los Angeles. Padres, 7-4 over their last 11. That's their best stretch of the season by far. Dodgers, though, they appear to not be the fourth place team that their record says they are.
Well, maybe they won't be a fourth place team after the Padres sweep them this weekend and the Padres zoom past and head on into fourth place by themselves. Do we see that happening? Because we know that the Padres have played so well against the Dodgers, although they did win 2 out of 3 in Mexico.
They won 2 out of 3 in Mexico. Listen, I'm going to write about that later today about, look, there are a lot of signs that this is not this 7-4 stretch. I mean, there's nothing that pops out to you other than the starting pitching that says, oh, wow, okay, so this is why the Padres are better. They've gotten some timely hits. Yes, their starting pitching has been, like, remarkably better. Their bullpen has been good. That's it. They can't hit, and they're not going to keep getting, you know, ground ball RBIs and having Bryce Harper drop balls that are doubles that really maybe a major league guy who's going to make $300 million should catch. That's probably not going to keep happening.
Even one who makes $500,000, like most of the Padres.
Well, certainly like Travis Jankowski. Yeah. I guess that's a roundabout way for me to say that, hey, this is fantastic. I mean, for me, it's certainly better to cover a team that wins every once in a while, at least. And good for them to learn that, hey, you put the ball in play, certain things happen. But this isn't something where, I mean, certainly I think you see what the Dodgers are doing recently and you say, oh, okay, yeah, that's what we expected out of the Dodgers.
Right, right. I mean, the Padres, I think what we expect is that you're going to have stretches in any baseball season that are like this. I mean, the old saying about, you know, what is it? Every team wins 60 and loses 60. And then it's the 42 other games that decide how good you're going to be. And, you know, so the Padres, we pretty much know they're going to win 60, 70 games this season. So of course we're going to have to see wins at some point. They're going to have to play well enough to win during various parts of the season. And they've done that. And of course it's going to be with pitching. I mean, this team, when we looked at it at the start of the season, you know, one of the huge question marks was starting pitching. So if they're going to get some good starts out of guys, which they obviously have in the last couple of weeks, then it follows that with their bullpen, they should win games. I mean, Brad, there was a clip going around on Twitter the other day of Brad Hand's 3 sliders to Bryce Harper. I mean, it was just ridiculous, those pitches. I mean, Bryce Harper was, you know, looked like they brought him off the Little League field to face Brad Hand. He just had no chance against those pitches. So when Brad Hand's pitching like that and he's got a lead, then, you know, the Padres are usually going to win. The problem is getting that starting pitching all the time. And we've seen it from Tyson Ross. And look, Tyson Ross being good this year, as you wrote the other day, is a really good thing for the Padres in the short term because it gives them a chance to win games. And in the long term, because the better he pitches, the more he should be worth in a trade. And that's where it figures to happen. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you even wait for at this point with Tyson Ross, other than if teams aren't quite desperate enough to offer you their best package yet. But I can't believe Tyson Ross is going to be a Padre. Do you think he'll even be here at the All-Star break?
I don't think so, because it's going to be a small but competitive market. As in, not a whole lot of contenders. I mean, but look at all the divisions. And I mean, teams need to be the first one to see you identify that you need a starting pitcher who's going to give you a quality start virtually every time. You're going to need to jump on him right away. So now let's point out the Padres have done this against, they went into Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh led the division. Washington, I think, was in fourth place in the National League East, but that's like 2 games out or something, a tightly bunched division, and they got 2 of the wins against the Cardinals, and that's where they've come to this 7-4 over the last 11 games. And now they've faced the Dodgers, who we've said probably are going to be the best of the losing teams they face. But then right after that, they've got Miami, Cincinnati, and then at Miami. And so this is their first time having playing teams with losing records. I don't think the Padres believe that anything will be different. The National League West has come back to them rather than them having jumped up in the 7-4 stretch. I don't think that will have anything to do with them moving Tyson Ross in the next couple weeks if a good deal were to come up.
Right, right. They also, I think you missed, there's a 3-game series against Atlanta in there before going back to Miami.
Right. So, the Braves are at home, yes.
And Atlanta's obviously in 10 games over 500 right now and in first place over Philadelphia, which, of course, everyone predicted Atlanta and Philly would be 1-2 in the East. But again, that's you know, May 25th or whatever today is, and it's way too early to read too much into anything. The Dodgers are a better team than their record. I think we've seen that in the last week or so. And Miami and Cincinnati their records are poor. They've been better, a little bit better lately. But neither one should strike fear. Right. Neither one should strike fear in anyone's hearts. And again, we've been waiting for the Padres to play teams that like this. So we'll see what happens with those games. Of course, now they'll come back on a nice road trip and then, go like 3-7 or something. And we'll be, back to square one. But,
let's talk about that. We brought up Tyson, you brought up, Brad Hand. Kirby Yates is pretty nasty for most of the time. Craig Stammen, who's got a 2-year contract. What is your thought, Jay, on, if you're 2020, which is increasingly the time that's being identified, right? If you're 2020, are any of those guys off the table? And what about anybody else?
No, I don't think anybody's off the table, again, given the right price. I mean, you're not going to, you don't need to have a fire sale and just dump guys. There's no reason to do that. But I would still think that people like Brad Hand and Kirby Yates, and maybe even Craig Stammen, like you said, especially with a 2-year deal, maybe those guys are people that, that you want to turn into other prospects. I mean, the one thing, and Tom Krasvick wrote about this, it's online this morning at SanDiegoUnionTribune.com, is the idea that in 2020, the rest of the NL West, other than the Dodgers, is coming back to the pack. I mean, all three of those teams, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants, have reasons to be concerned going forward into 2020. They don't have great systems. They have payroll issues. I mean, Zach Greinke's making $35 million a year for Arizona. Goldschmidt is only has one more year before he's a free agent. AJ Pollock's a free agent after this year. Colorado, Nolan Arenado's coming up on free agency. So there's a lot of situations where, hey, maybe the NL West, maybe there is a chance to be at least one of the top two teams. Again, with the Dodgers, who knows? But are we still? But the other question, what I had when I was reading Tom's story, is: are the Padres going to be good in 2020? What reason do we have to expect that this team is going to be that good in the year 2020 when we haven't seen pretty much any of the players that we're counting on? I mean, Fernando Tatis, Luis Urias, some of these pitchers who, I wouldn't say are on the fast track at this point. I mean, the guys that are in Lake Elsinore right now, can you count on them being quality top of the line starters just a year and a half from now? So I don't know, where do you stand on, is 2020 really realistic?
Well, 2020, you hear 2020, 2021, but let's go with 2020. Okay. we'll at least have, my answer to your original question is, how do we know? We don't. There's only faith, and it's faith. It's based on, if Chris Paddock, who is seen as a more near the top of the rotation starter,
he gave up a run yesterday. Who cares about him anymore?
And what, like 50 innings?
I don't know, something like that.
So if he is on the same track that Joey Lucchesi and Eric Lauer had, and see, he's got more experience in the minors than those guys had, but in terms of single A to bam, the next year in big league camp, and then we see what happens. Well, that's the only thing. That's the only kind of progress by which we can judge this. And Luis Urias is going to be up sooner than later. And he is supposedly, and he certainly shows it, he is the new kind of Padres prospect, not your Hunter Renfro, Manuel Margot, Austin Hedges, who can't lay off of pitches outside of the zone. This is now a system-wide thing where Luis Urias, several younger guys, and again, I'm not saying they're guaranteed, to make it in the majors or be championship caliber contributors, but that's all we have, Jay. You're 100% right. That's all we have is, okay, so here are the signs and here's what we've seen. But I will say, if Paddock and Baez having a little bit of a trouble. Anderson Espinosa, if he gets healthy, which it looks like he is. But if these guys make the kind of jump that Lucchesi and Lauer have made, and look, what did you think? This is you just mentioned Atlanta and Philadelphia. They're a year or two, 1 year ahead of what people thought.
Right,
so
right.
Well, I think that there is actually reasons to believe, but there is absolutely no evidence.
I do want to go back to the "you're 100% right" part of the quote. I just want to make
sure.
I want to make sure that gets highlighted somewhere. But yeah, and the other thing is about Atlanta and Philadelphia is, let's see where they are in August. Are they still in this situation? Mm-hmm. Are they actually ready to contend right now? Or are they just contending for the first 50 games or whatever it's been of the season?
I haven't broken these guys down. It's largely their prospects that I know about. But I know Philadelphia made a pretty big move for a pitcher and at the start of the season, and he's throwing pretty well.
Right,
And I believe that the Padres have shown, and I absolutely believe that that's the kind of moves they will make if they believe they are close. Now, we can debate how good they've been at acquiring major league talent. But nonetheless, I do think that while faith is all you have, there are reasons to believe that it will work out at least better than it has in the past. And speaking of Eric Lauer, like, honestly, this guy, one of the things he's done with his really sort of mediocre stuff and below average velocity is make Brian Mitchell look really bad, because Eric Lauer has done a 22-year-old rookie has done everything he's been asked to do and executed in games with all of that direction. And Brian Mitchell has done none of it. I mean, it's remarkable what Eric Lauer has done.
Well, it's funny to hear you describe Lauer as someone with, below average stuff or whatever, however you phrased it. But, he was a first round pick. So yes. I would hope that they saw
that
something.
Was probably a little strong.
Right. I was hoping they saw something in him, but that was a great performance the other day not only because just looking at the performance, it was great, but he had to know that if he went out there and had another awful showing and mm-hmm. he got knocked out in mm-hmm. the second inning, that it was very likely that he would be headed back to El Paso. Mm-hmm. And look, that's not anything that anybody wants for any reason, is to go to El Paso. Other than to be able to say you're a Chihuahua player, which I'm sure is probably a bonus down there. And it is a cool hat that they wear and everything. But still, the idea that he was going to be out of the big leagues if he had a poor start, and he came up with a really good start against a pretty good team. That's the kind of thing that is definitely encouraging. Seeing Lucchesi is encouraging. I think at this point, I'm almost more, kind of concerned going forward about the position players. But as you said, there's no way to know whether Tatis or Urias or those guys, how they're going to fare in a year and a half. I mean, come 2020, that might be the year that they get it, that they take off and they start to produce like the Padres think they're going to produce. You have in the back of your mind is this was supposed to be the year that Manny Margot did that. Or someone like that. And for whatever reason, it hasn't happened yet. But look, all we can do is speculate about this kind of stuff, because nobody knows for sure. It just feels like 2020 is a little early, but there's no evidence to say that it is. And I guess there's no evidence to say that it isn't as well. But I would encourage people to read Tom's column today, because it does give some good insight as to where the rest of the division is headed. And since the Padres play so many games against teams in their division, if those teams are headed down, if the Padres can win 12 or 13 games against each of those teams in 2020, now you're talking about a team that might be going somewhere.
And I love those types of pieces too, because we all, media and fans, tend to get myopic. And so I love that sort of perspective. So that's fantastic. By the way, I meant it as a compliment to Eric Lauer when I said below average. Average stuff. It's not stuff where you're going, oh, I see why he's getting guys out.
Of course. Yeah.
In the highest possible regard. All right. Clayton Richard, Ross Stripling tonight. Walker Buehler on Sunday, Jay. He did pretty well against the Padres last time. We'll see. the Dodgers rookie, their number one prospect. So. Three at Chavez Ravine, and then the Padres are home for, what is it? Is it a 10-game homestand? Because all I know is after that, they're home five times in the next month.
Yeah, it's a 10-game homestand. I think it's four with Miami, three with Cincinnati, three with Atlanta. Then there's an off day, and then it's 17 out of 19 and 23 of 28 on the road. It's just it's a remarkable stretch, and I can't wait to see your expense accounts for that month.
I think I'll be a lot fatter too. I eat awful late here.
Well, you should sweat a lot. I think you're going to Miami and Miami and Atlanta and St. Louis and maybe back to Phoenix or something. So, you know, you can get in a good sweat, but we'll talk a lot more about that after the homestand. I'm sure you'll be happy to be home for a week and a half and maybe even take a day off or two.
Maybe. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Trey. See ya.